Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Billy D's podcast. I am absolutely thrilled that you are here. If you have never checked out our program before, well, we're primarily an interview and a commentary podcast. You can find the Billy D's podcast pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. And speaking of which, we want to say hello to our friends over at Good Pods. What we are going to talk about today is, you know, it's interesting. I want to do a little shout out here. I was recently a guest on a Twitter space, and if you don't know what that is, I'll explain that briefly in just a moment. But I was in a space hosted by Ruth Snyder, and also Keith Keller and Khadija were the co-hosts and moderators. And what we were talking about was building communities on Twitter spaces. And a lot of the things that I covered in the course of that Twitter space pretty much applies to any type of networking that you're doing, either for yourself or for your business, and community building online or what have you. There's some principles here that I really feel are worth talking about. And being on the space and discussing all this, I kind of wanted to cover this for my listeners as well. And you don't necessarily have to be a social media enthusiast to appreciate a lot of the things I'm going to cover here today, because it's wider than that. It's about marketing. It's about creating a brand. It's about how you should conduct yourself in the world of business, but more than that, in the world at large. You know, how you want to build communities, how you want to reach out to people, and how you might want to affect them. A lot of these things that we're going to talk about today are relevant to that. I spend a fair amount of time on LinkedIn. And it's interesting the way people approach their relationships on LinkedIn. How many times have you accepted someone into your network on LinkedIn, and right away you get hit with some sort of a sales pitch? When can I buy you a cup of coffee and tell you how you can save money with your programs here and there and blah, blah, blah? You know, that's really not the best way to manage your account on LinkedIn. What LinkedIn to me is anyway, is it's a great networking tool. And of course, it's business to business. And people really don't understand that concept. They sometimes regard LinkedIn as, you know, a place to go to do sales pitches and to have things pitched at you. And that is not the best use for it. There's an adage in business that we want to do business with people we know, like, and trust. Okay, you've probably heard that a million times before, and it is absolutely true. And what networking does in general is it gives you that opportunity to become someone that people know, like, and trust. Prior to the whole pandemic situation, I went to a number of in-person networking events, and I would often hear people say, you know, I went to this one once or twice and I just didn't get anything out of it, so I'm not going anymore. Well, you know, that's an interesting comment. I didn't get anything out of it. What did you expect to get? Did you expect people to be waiting there for you to arrive and give you something when you got there? Now, of course, that's being facetious, but the point I feel is valid. What do you expect someone to give you when you go to these networking events? And when I get into a discussion about this, they always say, well, I handed out cards, I did this or that, and just nothing ever comes of it. Okay, let's pause a little bit right there. First of all, whether it be online or whether it be in person, when you go to these networking events, the person who's walking around handing out business cards, trying to nail people down for some sort of a consultation where they can convince them that they can save a ton of money by doing whatever, those are the people that get avoided. Okay. Don't be the person online. Don't be the person at these networking events where you're the person that people are trying to sidestep. Okay. I want to avoid this person at all cost. You really have to flip the tables on the idea, what am I going to get out of it? what you should be asking yourself is, what am I going to bring to it? What value am I going to bring to this? Now, we were talking here again on a Twitter space the other day, and we were talking about community building on Twitter spaces. And by the way, I feel that Twitter spaces is a great tool for that. Just very briefly, in a nutshell, if you're not familiar with Twitter spaces is a medium that Twitter has created that is audio. You have a host and you have a configuration of co-hosts and speakers. And of course, you know, a lot of people, as many people as you can attract to come listen, creates the space. And I believe that's a great way to create a community, because that gives you an opportunity to bring value to those people. And here's what I mean by that. Content marketing in general, one of the great things about content marketing is that being honest, being helpful, being all of these things is not only the ethical thing to do, okay, but it's a great marketing strategy, because when you become recognized as a leader, when you become recognized as someone who is going to provide objective content, who is going to bring value to the space, you become someone that people want to gravitate to. Okay. And the individuals involved in this networking and involved in this space, involved in this community may not necessarily be someone who is going to become a client. But here is where the people that you know, like, and trust come in. They start to recognize you as someone, this person is so helpful. This person is such an expert. This person is such a leader in this field, that when my friend George over there, when he has a need for this type of service, the person he should talk to is you. This is where, when you provide great content, when you bring value to your relationships, and this is true across the board with any social situation you might be in, when you bring value to your relationships and you bring value to the circles that you are in, you don't have to talk people in to listening to what you have to say. They come to you. They gravitate to you. They want to know you, and they are going to feel comfortable if they have a need, or if someone close to them has a need for the service you will provide. You will get a solid referral, and those are the best kind. Those are the best kind, not only for the client because they feel comfortable with you, but they are good for you because they know what to expect. They have a realistic expectation because they've already been prepped by your friends, by your associates, people who know, like, and trust you. And I know a lot of times this can be counterintuitive to how we are normally programmed, right? Okay, we are programmed for our ROI. If I'm going to get involved in this community, if I'm going to put my time in here, if I'm going to put my expertise in here, what's my ROI going to be, right? My return on my investment. What am I going to get out of this? Okay, it's a conditional relationship in that I scratch your back, you scratch mine. Okay, this is the mindset that will limit what you are going to get from community building. Community building should be something that is very selfless. You should be asking yourself, how can I provide content to the community that I'm in that for free is more valuable than what other people are charging for? And I want to be clear here. This has nothing to do with how you run your business, how you charge for your services, when you provide services, when you actually do work for people. This is about networking. This is about building relationships. This is about building a community that is going to support you, to help you facilitate these things. There is a quote by Zig Ziglar that I feel is very relevant here. And it goes like this. You can have everything you want in life if you will just help other people get what they want. And there are so many ways that that is true. A long time ago, I was involved in sales, and we all know what a business that can be, right? Especially when there's commissions involved. Ever gone to a car lot and you had this feeling that everybody's descending on you, right? And there's this idea that you got to make the sale. Don't let that person walk off the lot because be backs don't be back, right? That's the kind of saying in sales. When somebody says, well, I'll be back. Oh, they don't come back, right? But here's the thing. If you apply yourself as a salesperson to make sure that that person is going to get exactly what they want, even if it's at your own expense, that will come back and serve you. And I'll tell you how. There's any number of times that a salesman will be in a position where a customer is very clear about what they want, and that salesperson knows that the products that they represent at that particular establishment or at that organization, whatever, do not fulfill the needs of that individual, but they know that somewhere else there is a product that will. And it serves the salesperson in the long run to say, look, I really wish I could take care of you on this. I really do. But given what you just told me, given what your needs are, I'll tell you exactly what you need. And I can't give it to you, but I can send you somewhere that you can get it. Or at the very least, I'm going to send you somewhere to talk to somebody who's going to help you get into the right product that you need. And instantly, you have made a friend. Instantly, that person that you are dealing with trusts you. Because they know at your own expense, at the cost of a sale, you made sure that they got sent in the right direction. And that pays enormous dividends because every person, and you can generally presume that a given customer in a given marketplace has a number of friends who are interested in the same thing that they are. Okay, so that person is going to tell all their friends, hey, look, I talked to this guy over here. He didn't have exactly what I wanted, but he told me where I could get it. So where do you guess that that person is going to send people first? Where do you guess that that person is going to go first the next time that they need something? They're going to come to you. And when you start to get recognized in the marketplace as a friendly consultant, someone who is going to provide valued information, objective information, someone who is going to have the interest of the customer as the number one priority, you are going to be successful. If you leave someone with the feeling that they went home and they just bought something that they were talked into, it's not going to serve you well. And here again, what we're talking about today is community building, right? We're talking about building supportive communities. And what we're talking about here, I just gave an example of how you treat a customer, but it's also a matter of supporting the people in your community because it pays you dividends in exactly the same way. You know, in social media, for example, I spend a lot of time on Twitter. I spend a lot of time working with authors and with publishers and with other creatives, and they all have their social media accounts. And the people that will help you promote a piece of content are the people that you're going to build relationships with. And I don't know why, but there seems to be a certain stinginess on social media with what people will do for you. And the odd thing is it doesn't cost them anything. You know, to share a piece of content a lot of times it helps them. It enhances their timeline and they still won't do it. But to share content from other creators and have that reciprocated by a certain group, by the community, is so valuable, not only to all of the members in that community, but it's also valuable to all of the people who follow those members. It's much more of a collective of information that's being shared. There's so much good that is happening there. And getting people to share content from other people is sometimes like pulling teeth. And I simply do not know why. This is a true story. All my stories are mostly true. But anyway, very recently, I got a message from a fellow podcaster. And the message was something like, hey, I'm launching this new podcast and I would like you to retweet my pinned tweet. And if you're a user of Twitter, you know what that will mean. And I not only want you to retweet it, but I want you to ask your followers to follow me. And this comes from a person that has never interacted with my social media account before. And I was very nice about it. And I basically said, look, first of all, I don't ask my followers to do anything. I don't feel it's a good tactic. Okay. I don't like giving my followers chores to do. So I don't feel comfortable with that. But I will tell you this. I am very much a community builder. And I believe in mutual work to cross promote and to share each other's content. So the more that you share my content, obviously the more I will share your work as well. And his answer was, oh, okay. All right. I understand. I understand where you're coming from. Just forget it. And that was astonishing to me. The idea that he would ask me not only to share his content, but to ask my followers to follow him, but to consider the idea that he would share my content, that was something that, you know, was totally unholy. That is something that would be sharing a piece of his soul. I would have been better off to say, yeah, I'll do it for $100. And that is not uncommon. You know, that happened here within the last week or so, but quite frankly, this is something that happens fairly often. I often get contacted for people that want their content shared. They have a song they want shared. They have something, some sort of a link to a book or some kind of a discount on some sort of a self-help plan that they're selling. And granted, even in the best situations, I have to like the product. I have to feel good about their content before I will share it. But providing that little hurdle is covered, I will normally do it for people who do the same for me. And they won't. They'll ask you to do it, but they won't do it themselves. And here again, this is frustrating to me, not because of any loss to myself. I mean, I'm going to go on just fine whether I get help from these people or not. But it's the idea that why? You know, this is something that could be mutually beneficial. This is something you're coming to me with, something that is could essentially be a tool for you to help yourself. And you won't do it. If you spend any time following social media marketing and content marketing and all the tips involved, the one thing that you will hear very often is the term personal brand. And getting back to those stories that I just shared, here's where those stories fail in terms of being a personal brand. If you are a car company or what have you, that's one thing. But most people who are involved in community groups and networking groups, they're personal brands. And that can mean, say, like Billy D's, the podcaster. Okay, Billy D's is my personal aspect of it, and the podcaster is my brand. I have a certain way of doing things that is my brand as a podcaster. You might be a vlogger. You might be a creator. You might be a wellness tips person. But the personal part of that term, the personal brand, has the word person in it. And that's where I feel a lot of these stories that I'm relating fail, is that these people forget to be a person. They forget to be a human being. If you can be a person, if you can have a little humanity in your content and in your actions in terms of how you treat your clients, how you treat the people in your community group, you are going to have a memorable connection to them. There are many times when people will have a certain affinity for a given brand. It's the brand that they've always used, what have you. But when push comes to shove, if they get a better price on another brand, or if there's another brand that for whatever reason has changed its marketing strategy and all of a sudden has more whistles and bells, they will change brands. But if they connect with the person that is part of your personal brand, now that's a human connection. That is a connection with another human being. Okay. And that relationship is built for the long haul. Okay. Now, not everyone that you've ever met is going to be a close personal connection, but in terms of brand versus person, in terms of the humanity of the relationship, if they recognize you as someone who brings value and who is a genuine person, and I believe, you know, I talk about being genuine a lot, and that gets misinterpreted. I'm not just trying to be positive about be real and all. Being genuine just means having the whole package. You have faults, and people who know you well are going to be aware of those faults. Some of my closest friends know every fault that I have, and I have plenty. But they know at the end of the day what to expect from me because I'm genuine. I'm the real deal. I don't pretend to be something that I'm not. This whole idea that you have to fake it until you make it, I'm not with that program at all, okay? If people connect with you who you are, the whole package, the good and the bad, and I would certainly hope that most of us are, at the very least, at the end of the day, good people, less than perfect, but good people. That connection is more valuable than some sort of an image that you are trying to create, some sort of a character that you have to maintain. You know, it's just that old adage about the truth never changes. You don't have to remember some version of the truth. Because the truth doesn't change. Whereas if you give the truth a little spin, or if you fabricate something, sometimes your story can change, right? That's why the police always ask you the same question over and over again. Okay, that's why, because the truth doesn't change. And this applies to who we are as people as well. Who you are fundamentally does not change. All right. You're always going to be you. Everywhere you go, there you are. Okay. It's always going to be you. And you are the best project. You are the most important project that you will ever have. So you want to make sure that your project, the project that is you, is genuine and is a project that people can approach and a project that people can trust. That is really what's at the core of community building. That's what you should be bringing to your network. And that is how you should be representing yourself on LinkedIn and in life. You should be presenting yourself as the real deal, not the smiling guy with a shirt and tie with a business card in his hand who's all ready to sit you down and explain to you how you can make money with his programs. Don't be that guy. Be the guy that's genuine. Be the guy that people want to be with. Be the leader, not the people who are chasing everybody else, tugging at their coattails, ringing their doorbell, calling their phone, sending them endless messages. I get these messages on LinkedIn. You know, it's really funny. Like I said, I'll get these messages from someone that I just connected with. And they'll say something like, I appreciate your connection. When can I sit down and talk to you and blah, blah, blah. And if you don't answer right away, a day or two comes up. Well, all right. I just want to follow up. I know you're busy, but I would really appreciate a response on this. When can I sit down? Do they really feel that this is the best way they can represent themselves and whatever it is that they're providing? Some of these emails that I get go on for quite some time. And it really, the longer they go on, the more I question if this person feels that the best way that they can communicate as a person is to aggravate someone or be a pest. It makes me question how they operate as a person, how they operate as a business person. And it also makes me question whatever it is that they are providing. How do you feel about the service or the product that you are providing if you feel that it needs to be shoved down someone's throat, that they have to be almost forced just to make you go away by listening to them or listening to their spiel or subscribing to something that they're selling? Is that really the best tactic? This is often a question I will ask myself. Is this the best way that I can go about accomplishing this? Is this the best way that I can try to attain this goal with this person that represents who I am as a person, that represents how I feel about the service that I am providing, how I feel about whatever it is that I represent? Is this the best way? Is this going to put me in a position where that is going to be respected? And sometimes I have to change. You know, you have to be honest with yourself. Self-examination is very difficult when it comes to how we behave and how we try to get the things we want. And it's a good practice. When I find myself approaching someone, when I find myself trying to achieve a goal with a certain person, am I doing it in a way that I am representing myself and my cause in a respectable manner, whether the end result is a yes or no? And that we want to strive for yes, it's always a respectable manner, because if it's in a respectable manner, when even if it doesn't work out with that person, that arrangement that you want, whatever that may be, doesn't work out, they will still respect you if you've stayed within those boundaries of providing a genuine person to deal with, providing honesty, providing value. So anyway, that is what I feel people should be bringing to things like Twitter Spaces or their local business network group or their local community group or whatever it is that they're doing on LinkedIn. That is how those approaches should be evaluated. And that's what I do. Okay. And if you have an opinion about this, well, I'd really like to hear from you. You can find me on Twitter, real easy to find on Twitter at Billy D's. There's links in my Twitter bio to all of the places pretty much that I am online. And of course, again, you can find the Billy D's podcast pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. We've been on Apple Podcasts for a long time. We've also been on Spotify, iHeartRadio, all those. And again, a new platform for us has been Good Pods. Do check them out. They're very good with independent creators, and that's always a good thing. Hey, I'm Billy D's. Thank you very much for checking out our podcast. And we'll be talking to you again next week.
Well, hello, everyone. I am Billy D's from the self-titled Billy D's podcast. You can find me on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and many more of the best podcast networks. Join me for my commentary and interviews. Follow me on Twitter, real easy to find, at Billy D's. I am Billy D's. I'd love to have you listen in.